Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Thanks so much for listening. It is The Drive. Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. And we'll catch up with John McClain of the Houston Chronicle to get the Texans' perspective on their collapse against the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll highlight a lot of the key players that were very critical and pivotal in the Chiefs coming back from a 24-0 deficit against the Houston Texans. You're listening to The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. To my right is the Sports Machine, Sean Levine, and directly in front of me is Brandon Kiley. I am a big believer that every truly transcendent great kind of has that moment where we all know it. And I'm not saying that Mahomes hasn't had great moments before, because he certainly has. But I think we knew that LeBron James was a great basketball player. But I remember watching it as a high schooler, and you remember that Eastern Conference final game against the Pistons where LeBron scored 24 consecutive points, and I remember thinking to myself, I'm watching the greatest basketball player that I've ever seen. You remember the Tom Brady drive in the Super Bowl or the Tuck Rule game. You remember Ben Roethlisberger. Remember whenever Jerome Bettis fumbled and then Ben Roethlisberger made that tackle that saved it and they went to the Super Bowl based off that tackle?
Yeah.
Like, I'm a firm believer that every great player kind of has that pivotal moment where you say that's what the greats do, and that takes you from being a superstar to a potential transcendent legend and someone that defines a generation. I feel like that game just happened for Patrick Mahomes. And Mahomes did a lot of great things last year, whether it was the 5,000 yards, the 50 touchdowns, the great throw against the Baltimore Ravens. I'm not saying that Mahomes doesn't have those kind of moments, but we typically define greatness by having that moment in the postseason, and I don't think he had that last year. Maybe he would have had it in the Super Bowl, but they didn't go to the Super Bowl. I don't know if Mahomes had that pivotal moment where you would say that's his game. This was his Tuck Rule game. This was his Jordan shot over Elo. This was his Andrew Luck wildcard game. This was the first, I would say, legendary defining moment for Patrick Mahomes.
Funny, C-Dot, you would bring up LeBron James, because has any player been built up before he actually did anything more than LeBron James? And I kind of feel that way. Maybe it's just locally here because we finally got the quarterback and traded up to get him. Patrick Mahomes was the same way. He could walk on water before he ever took a snap back when Alex Smith was a starting quarterback. And then all this dude has done is go out there and beat Denver his first crack, then win MVP his first full season, and now he's got this team back in the AFC Championship game. I mean, you want to talk about exceeding the hype? Patrick Mahomes has done that. That, to me, is the craziest thing. Where yesterday, I agree with you, that was probably the best that he's ever been. Whether you can talk about what he did with his legs and the clutch performance on the sidelines, pumping the team up, Pat has become the leader, not just the best player, but the leader of this football team. He's done something that very few quarterbacks in the history of this game have ever done, which is in his first two full seasons as quarterback, has taken his team to two AFC Championship games. And I think that we got guilty this year, Carrington, of putting Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, and Patrick Mahomes in the same sentence, because they are the three best young quarterbacks in the league, and didn't give enough credence to the fact that it's Patrick Mahomes, and this is not anti-Lamar Jackson or Deshaun Watson, but there's a pretty big gap between him individually and what he's already achieved in his career compared to those other two guys.
I'm a big believer that we as people feed off of energy, whether it's positive or negative. Have you ever been in a bad mood, but you're around a really fun person that can kind of turn your mood around? Have you ever been around someone who was just an emotional drain? That it doesn't matter the kind of day that you're having, that the moment you're around that person, they just suck all the energy out of the room. I pointed out to BK, and I'm sure a lot of you saw it yesterday, Mahomes on that first touchdown play was as animated and fired up as I'd ever seen him before. He threw the one touchdown pass and ran clear across the field to the other side that I think the Chiefs kind of bought into his energy and really fed off of it. If you want to really look at this game and find kind of the breakdown of the comeback and really examine what happened here, there was a 5-minute stretch in where I think the Chiefs won the game. I think, number one, it was on fourth down whenever Houston made the decision that I think Kansas City kind of exhaled a little bit, and the defense said, all right, we gave up points, but they didn't get in the end zone. We got to get a stop here on out, and the Texans didn't score another meaningful touchdown. It was Mecole Hardman and that spark, and that was the first time in a span of about 13 minutes that Arrowhead had cheered. There was not a whole lot of cheering for about a 13-minute span, and that was the first time that I think the team kind of started to feed off the energy, and then it was Sorensen's tackle on the fake punt. if you want to really break down the three plays that ultimately define this game, it was those three plays and happening. And then all you need for any great player is you leave the door open just a little bit and Mahomes back against the wall. And I say this all the time. America is obsessed with clutch. The reason that we love Michael Jordan so much is not the commercials or the shoes. It was in every critical moment, there was a belief that that player would always come through. That's what Mahomes did yesterday. 24-0 AFC Championship game hanging in the balance. For you to throw for 321 and five touchdown passes and erase a 24-0 deficit in a span of 15 minutes is something we've never seen before in the history of the NFL.
And I'm going to make it my duty every half hour to talk about how good Daniel Sorensen was at least once, because as good as Patrick Mahomes was and Travis Kelce and the big boys, Frank Clark, three sacks that got it done, Daniel Sorensen was absolutely the X factor. I mean, if you want to talk about a tale of two quarters in chronological order, before the game, we find out Chris Jones isn't playing. Then Kenny Stills is left wide open, which I don't remember happening all year. Then Travis Kelce has the drop. Then a blocked punt. Then DeMarcus Robinson has another drop. Then the Chiefs show pretty much the most desperation that I've seen in the last 2 months, which is putting Tyreek Hill back to return a punt, trying to get a spark, and he fumbles the football. Everybody saw what happened. It could not have gone worse. And then you're talking about what was the spark that caused the fire, what really changed everything. You're right. There were three things. It was Bill O'Brien choosing to kick a field goal, not go for a touchdown. It was my man, Mecole Hardman, with the kickoff return, and it was another dumb decision by Bill O'Brien, the fake punt. But that all started with Patrick Mahomes, that fiery speech on the sidelines. Yesterday was unbelievable, not just the way the Chiefs got down, but those 3 minutes and 24 seconds where they scored three touchdowns and came back. You might live to be 150 years old and never see another football game like yesterday.
And that's why I always hate topics, did Team A win or did Team B lose? Because it has to be a combination of the two in order for you to overcome a deficit in the way that Kansas City did.
Bill O'Brien definitely helped the comeback, though.
100%. And I'm a big believer that momentum avalanches and momentum avalanches. And it's kind of ironic because there are so many similarities between what Kansas City did yesterday, the football team, and what Kansas City did back in 2015, the baseball team. This was their 2015 ALDS game four. And I would say the fake punt was the Carlos Correa error, where that was the moment in which people said, all right, we can win this game.
What city was that against?
Against Houston.
Yeah.
Like, once that play happened, that Carlos Correa, at that point, I think every single Royals fan know, oh, yeah, they're about to win this game. Like, that was the moment where everything turned and everything sparked, and that was the catalyst to the comeback. The exact same thing with the fake punt. You could just feel it in the building, and you could feel the desperation from Houston to go for a fake punt. So when Bill O'Brien says, well, I wanted to get momentum, you were up 24-7. All that play could do, if it didn't work, was just simply give momentum to the other team. It's kind of funny how in 2015 it was spurred by a major comeback against Houston. That's a big reason why they won a championship. And this team, a major comeback is going to be sparked by coming back against the team from Houston.
Who was the coach of the Little Giants?
Kevin O'Shea.
To call Bill O'Brien Kevin O'Shea is to compliment him. I mean, he's a terrible football coach. He made so many bad decisions yesterday. The one that you're talking about, not deciding to go for the throat instead of kicking the field goal, the fake punt, which made no sense. At the end of the game, when his team was down 17 with 11 minutes left, and he decided to punt and then take the timeout, like, there were just so many bad decisions in that game that it kind of felt like he didn't give his team a chance to win, even though they did everything they could in the first quarter. And it wasn't the defense's fault. Even though they gave up 24 points before the Chiefs could run 15 plays, you can't really pin that on the defense. And you were talking about the 2015 Royals and all the comparisons. I'm kind of getting that feeling, and I don't think I'm the only one, where, I mean, come on. The Dolphins beat New England to keep the back door open for the Chiefs to get the number 2 seed, and then we all sat at home while Baltimore was resting their players, and then Baltimore had Tennessee go in there and beat them, and then the Chiefs got down 24, and some of the AFC Championship game still going to be at Arrowhead. I'm not saying it's a foregone conclusion, because I'm the idiot that said that Speck should have bought his tickets to Baltimore, but I am going to say he should probably buy his tickets to Miami.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. But really quickly, you were telling me earlier that Mahomes gives you the confidence of being a KU fan.
Yeah, because I've always been called cocky. And as a KU basketball fan, I've always thought, you know what? Yeah, you're right. I deserve that. But you know what also? My team usually beats yours because my coach is better, the talent's better, and Allen Fieldhouse is better. So if I'm cocky, that's fine. That's what you get. Sometimes you're a Royals fan and you haven't had a lot of reason to be cocky. If you're a Chiefs fan in 2020, why should you not be cocky? You've got the dude. You've got Patrick Mahomes. You've got a transcendent enough player that it's okay to puff your chest out and say, you know what, we're better than you. we're going to beat you because you've got Patrick Mahomes, where I think we saw yesterday, C-Dot, it doesn't matter how many points that guy gets down. When you've got Patrick Mahomes, you are never out of a football game.
I mean, there's just some players that you're right. You're never out of it. It doesn't matter if you're down 3-1 against arguably the greatest team in the history of the NBA and you have LeBron James, or you're down 24-0 in a home playoff game. If you just have transcendent players, you will always give yourself a chance to do incredible things. And that's what the Chiefs did yesterday. But it certainly was not Mahomes alone. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest, and we'll catch up with John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. But speaking of the other Chiefs on the team, we have highlighted and pinpointed five Chiefs that were critical in the comeback, not named Patrick Mahomes, and we will discuss them coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll give you your final chance today to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Plus, John McClain, one of our favorite guests, will join us to get the Houston perspective on the comeback and epic collapse from the Houston Texans. Text line 69306. Both teams got 14 cheat points on special team mistakes. If you take those out of the equation, we outscored them 37-17 by simply being better on offense and defense. BK, I think this kind of goes to your point that after the game kind of settled down after the first 15 minutes, that game played about as closely as you said it was going to play, where Kansas City was just clearly better than Houston the last 45 minutes. I think that kind of happened after all the special teams weirdness kind of happened.
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw that there was one team that was better, one team that was better coached, one team that had the better quarterback, one team that had the better team overall, and it was on full display yesterday.
And I would say special teams, I kind of felt like the special teams sort of created the situation that you found yourself in with the fumble from Tyreek Hill and the block punt. So it kind of gave up 14 points. But then your special teams went and got it back, whether it was forcing the fumble and Darwin Thompson recovering it or it was the block punt. So special teams in the end kind of neutralized itself. It was a roundabout way of doing so. But at the end, the special teams put you in a hole, and ultimately the special teams is part of a big reason of why you got back in the game. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest and be joined by John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. But first, I want to highlight some Chiefs who were not Patrick Mahomes that were very critical in the Chiefs' comeback yesterday against the Texans.
Let's start with Daniel Sorensen. He was the X factor in that one. We talked last week about who would it be. It was him. He had the stop on the fake punt. He forced a fumble on the kickoff return. C-Dot, what did you think of Daniel Sorensen's performance yesterday?
You got to give Daniel Sorensen a lot of credit. He was hashtag next man up to play 109 snaps in that game, and we just were talking about it on special teams. He made two really, really big plays that gave you a chance to win the game, whether it was forcing the fumble that was recovered by Darwin Thompson or the fake punt. If you go back and watch it, he read the fake punt all the way, and he had to make an open field tackle. Who knows what the game is like if Houston converts on that play and you don't get that momentum shift. Maybe Houston goes down the field and scores. We'll never know. But for him to read it the entire way and then make an open field tackle that ultimately changed momentum of the game, Daniel Sorensen, if they were giving out game balls, I understand that Mahomes should get a game ball because he's the MVP and the best player in the NFL. The next game ball should go to Daniel Sorensen for being an Iron Man and playing 109 snaps and making two of the plays that really turned this team's fortune.
The next game ball should go to Travis Kelce, but you're right. The next game ball, or if you're going to give one out on the defensive side, should absolutely go to Daniel Sorensen. We've talked about this all season. If you're going to win a Super Bowl, it can't just be the big boys. It can't just be the big guns. Now, they have to show out, and they did. Frank Clark had three sacks. Patrick Mahomes was great. Travis Kelce had one of the best games, probably the best game of his career. But we talked about heading into this game. Who's going to be the X factor? Is it going to be Bashaud Breeland? Is it going to be Mecole Hardman? Who's it going to be? And clearly, on Sunday, it was Daniel Sorensen. Real quick for Darwin Thompson, he had a chance to get in the end zone, man. What the hell are you doing? The ball bounced right into your hands. Run, Darwin, run.
Next guy I want to bring up is somebody that we've been talking about all season long. He's been Sean's guy since about week 12 or so. He had three sacks in this game. He has 10 sacks in his last eight games. Of course, I am talking about Frank Clark. I'll start with you, Sean. What'd you think about his performance?
So as difficult as I was on Frank Clark and the $20 million in the first five or six games when he was basically invisible, and I thought, well, they probably could have spent that money otherwise, I've taken a complete 180. And I said back then, I just calls him like I see him. I wasn't trying to upset anybody or give any hot takes. I just thought he sucked. He's been an exact opposite. He's been a 180. He's been a difference maker. He's been a guy that if he's not on the field healthy, the Chiefs can't win the Super Bowl. He was a game wrecker pretty much the entire second half of the season, and he was the game wrecker on the defensive side of the ball yesterday with not one, not two, but three sacks. Frank Clark is awesome. Frank Clark is worth the money. And if the Chiefs go on to win a Super Bowl, Frank Clark never has to buy a beer in Kansas City again.
I would say Frank Clark is another person that fits in the hashtag next man up. Now, he's not next man up the way that Daniel Sorensen is next man up. But once this team lost Chris Jones for this game, it became important that Frank Clark be a significant member of this game. We gave you the stat last week. Anytime that Deshaun Watson was sacked one time or fewer, the Texans were undefeated during Deshaun Watson's career. If he was sacked more than one time, they were 15-15. They are just such a different team whenever they cannot protect Deshaun Watson. And one of those plays that Frank Clark made was purely based on effort. I believe it was the second sack. Watson got away once. Watson got away again, but Frank Clark stayed with it and got the sack. I thought that was maybe the defensive play of the game, and it really showed how relentless he was on the play and the high motor that he had. I think it also showed how much healthier he is now than he was earlier in the season.
Speaking of sack, would you say he let him hang yesterday the game?
He absolutely
did. He certainly did after the game, that's for sure. His post-game press conference was one that I will never forget. Sammy Watkins, speaking of health, 90 yards from scrimmage. He now has 266 scrimmage yards in his last three playoff games with the Chiefs. C-Dot, I'm going to start with you on this one because you're the Sammy Watkins hater. What'd you think about his performance yesterday?
If there is a way to bottle this Sammy Watkins player, he justifies the contract at this point. There's no way that he's ever going to be able to live up to having the fourth highest cap hit for non-quarterbacks in the NFL, but we are so far removed from that. You need two more big games from Sammy Watkins. If you can get that, then we're off of the contract, and he did it. But in big-time playoff games, when it matters, he stepped up. The last two playoff games, whether it was the AFC Championship game against the Patriots when you didn't get a great game from Tyreek Hill, or in this game, two catches for 76 yards, and he had the long 48-yard play, Sammy Watkins was very good. If you can just get him to have 60 yards or more in these games and keep having Kelce play well, and I don't think the teams are going to be able to eliminate Tyreek Hill the way that Houston did for the most part in that game, Watkins is a good player.
Yeah, if I told you that the Chiefs were going to have a wide receiver that went out there and had 76 yards and another wide receiver that was going to go out there and have 41, you'd say, yeah, I think I know which one's Sammy Watkins and which one's Tyreek Hill. The Texans actually did a pretty good job of slowing down the cheetah, albeit Sammy Watkins got all of his yardage in two catches. But at this point, I don't want to break it down with a microscope with that guy. I don't care how he does it. If he has one catch and 1 yard and one touchdown, or if he has 100 yards on two catches, cool. As long as he produces, as long as he adds to this football team, which he clearly did on Sunday, it did in last year's playoff game, then I'm with you. He's never going to justify the contract, but he can make it look less bad. And he can be one of those guys that, you know what? He might not ever live up to the deal. He might not ever go down in Chiefs lore as a guy that we're going to remember all that fondly. But as long as you make a big play or two, you can help this team win a Super Bowl.
From one regular season sleeper to playoff performer to another, Damian Williams, 68 yards from scrimmage in that game. He had three total touchdowns. He's a touchdown machine in the postseason. Seven touchdowns in his three playoff games with the Chiefs thus far. He looked healthy. He looked shifty. And he had a fantastic catch on Patrick Mahomes' little swing pass to him that it ended up as a touchdown. Sean, what'd you think about Damian Williams' performance yesterday?
I think Damian Williams is clearly the guy the rest of the way. As you said, he averaged almost 4 yards per carry. More important, he finds his way in the end zone. That's six touchdowns in his last two games. And I know who's officially not part of the plan, LeSean McCoy. We've been talking about, are they saving him? What's the deal? Do they not trust him at all? All the above. LeSean McCoy, did he play at all? One snap, right?
He had one snap yesterday.
So he's not part of the plan. And Mecole Hardman, how many snaps is he out there for?
I think it was eight or nine, something like that.
So neither one of those guys appears to be a huge part of the playoff plan, but clearly LeSean McCoy is, he's done.
There were 64 snaps from running backs. Damian Williams got 62. LeSean McCoy got one. Darwin Thompson got one. Damian Williams is this team's number one running back, and he has been so for the last 4 weeks. He has seven touchdowns in three playoff games for the Kansas City Chiefs. He didn't have a great day from a production standpoint, but you talk about impactful plays in the receiving game and rushing. Two touchdowns on the ground, one through the air. He had 68 total yards on 14 touches. That's about what you need from Damian Williams. We'll see how he plays in the game against the Tennessee Titans, but he certainly was a positive yesterday. And he's been good in the postseason. He's been close to, I think, what people expected him to be at the very beginning of the season. This team's offensive force just started turning around once they got a legitimate running threat, and that's what Damian Williams has been.
And the truth is, guys, the best running back for the Chiefs yesterday was the quarterback. And I was pounding the table the entire season. Don't run the football. You're too important. Well, now you lose, you're done. And Pat yesterday had a bunch of big third quarter rushes to get a first down. 7 carries for 53 yards, 7.6 yards per carry. I think that's going to be an additional weapon that we haven't seen all year the rest of the way.
Last one we got to get to here is Travis Kelce, 134 yards through the air, 3 touchdowns. That's a new career high for him for touchdowns in any individual game. Sean's been telling us all year there's going to be a Travis Kelce game. There's going to be a Travis Kelce game. He certainly had it yesterday. His big catch over the middle was after the Mecole Hardman play. Probably the number one thing that got that offense going. Finally, what'd you think of him yesterday, Sean?
Well, if you keep buying scratch-off tickets, BK, eventually you're going to get, you know, $40. Oh, speaking of $40, I had Travis Kelce yesterday at 40-1 on Bovada to have 10 catches, 110 yards, and 2 touchdowns, which means pay the man his money. Travis Kelce was awesome yesterday.
Travis Kelce was sort of indicative of how the game was. Travis Kelce was pretty disappointing the first 15 minutes and had a couple critical drops where BK, you and I looked at each other and said, if you want to be the best tight end in the NFL, that's simply a play that you have to make.
I forgot about that until you literally just said it.
Yeah, I mean, you were too busy counting money. They had a critical third down and Travis Kelce dropped it. And that was part of how the Chiefs got down 24-0. And then once Travis Kelce and Mahomes got going and that 1-2 punch, as you said, BK, 134 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a new career high. He was an absolute dominant force in the red zone, which is something this team has really struggled with. I said last week that the postseasons are a lot of times about overcoming your weaknesses. This team struggled converting for touchdowns in the red zone. That was certainly not an issue yesterday. Coming up on the other side, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest, so keep it locked in. Plus, we'll be joined by John McClain of the Houston Chronicle to get the Texans' perspective on the epic collapse yesterday at Arrowhead. That's coming up next. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in 30 minutes. I asked Benny Heiss to make a special open. A game, a comeback of that magnitude deserves a classic Drive open. So we will play that for you coming up at 5 o'clock. Keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports Radio. We're expected to be joined by John McClain of the Houston Chronicle coming up momentarily. But before we do that, let's give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Text the word MIDNIGHT, 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 272881. That's MIDNIGHT. If you want Chiefs talk and a chance to win $1,000 in the 30s, well, there's only one station in Kansas City doing both. Weekdays from 8 to 5. Your next chance to win is coming up tomorrow morning. So if you want to win, go ahead and win right now. Complete rules and listings on the website, 610sports.com. One more time for those of you keeping score at home. Text the word MIDNIGHT, 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 to 72881. Your national cash contest code word for 430 to get that $1,000 is MIDNIGHT. Let's head to the phone lines right now to get the Houston Texans perspective with one of my favorite guests. He covers the Texans for the Houston Chronicle. He is John McClain. John, really appreciate you coming back on today.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
No, we appreciate it. Let's start with this. What has the Houston fan reaction been to that epic collapse yesterday?
It's an epic choke, second biggest in our city's history, and everybody wants Bill O'Brien fired Saturday. They want him fired anyway. O'Brien, he got past the first round this year, and when the Titans won in Baltimore, that put more pressure on O'Brien. Mike Vrabel, his former assistant, Mike goes up to Tennessee. He's in the AFC Championship game in his second season. But O'Brien can, and the Texans have never been beyond the second round of the playoffs, so that put more pressure on them because everybody knew if indeed they won at Arrowhead, they would host the AFC Championship game for the first time in history, and they would have a Houston team in the AFC Championship game for the first time since the Oilers in 1979. So ordinarily, if the Titans hadn't won, I think that losing to the Chiefs would have been easier to stomach, not the way they did, but just if the Chiefs had come out and jumped on them early and it hadn't been a mauling like it turned out to be, people would have accepted that because the Chiefs were favored by 9.5 points. So the Texans go in with all that pressure on them to do what the Titans did in Baltimore, and they jump up 24-0. And I thought, people asked me, I thought, hey, it's fool's gold. Because number one, the only time the Chiefs had to punt early was when they had passes dropped on third down. Otherwise, they might have scored 10 touchdowns. And I just, I've seen it before. I've been covering the NFL now 44 years, and I've seen so many teams get off the fast starts and collapse on the road. And as you guys know, with Patrick Mahomes, anything is possible. So everybody complained around the country and here about O'Brien kicking a field goal to go up 24-0. I said beforehand in the press box to my guys at the Houston Chronicle, they need to kick a field goal, take the points, go up by four. The problem was Hardman having the 58-yard kickoff return to set up an easy touchdown, and then the fumble on the kickoff, which that guy had never done it all year, and that set up a touchdown. And, of course, the dumbest play, in our second dumbest play in our city's history, to one Jerry Glanville called in the playoffs at Denver, and it would be the fake punt, which just made no sense whatsoever. And it backfired, and that really ignited the victory. And so I'm not surprised they won. I'm surprised the Chiefs scored on seven consecutive touchdowns because the Texans' defense had played better than that. But I'm happy for Andy Reid. I'd love to see Andy go to the Super Bowl. I'd love to see Mahomes in the Super Bowl. I think it'd be quite exciting.
Right now we're talking to John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. Let me correct an error from earlier. The National Cash Contest word is above, A-B-O-V-E, above, A-B-O-V-E, to 72881. Our apologies. The National Cash Contest code word 4430 is above, A-B-O-V-E. John, when you talk about Bill O'Brien, what's Houston, like, what's next for Houston? Because looking at it, they seem really stuck when it comes to head coach. Plus, he is also their general manager. What's next for the Texans?
Well, they don't have their first round pick. It went to Miami in the Laramie Tunsil Kenny Stills trade, but they should have 9 picks, one a compensatory. They'll go to Cleveland for Duke Johnson, and so they'll have 8 picks. They'll have some cap money. They need to sign Deshaun Watson to an extension. It'll be interesting to see if Watson and Mahomes signs first. I'm sure both of their agents want the other one to sign first. The Texans also have to sign Laramie Tunsil to an extension. They have 19 players whose contracts expire. Of course, they won't bring them all back. But, you know, they targeted their offensive line last offseason. They're fine with that. Their first-round pick was doing great at right tackle, and then he went down midway through the year. So they've got to target their secondary and their pass rush. I don't think I'd draft any other position other than pass rushers and defensive backs to help guard against that. I believe Romeo Crennel will be out. His defensive coordinator, he's turning 73, so they'll probably let him say he's resigned, and they'll have a new coordinator. And so they've won the AFC South for the last 5 years, and that's not enough for people here anymore. Now that they've won a wild card, everybody wants them to get a first-round bye for the first time. And they lacked last year. They had to beat Philadelphia at the end. They went ahead. If the defense had stopped Nick Foles, they would have had a first-round bye. Instead, he went the distance. They kicked the field goal to win as time expired. This year, they blew the Denver game. They blew the Carolina game. And either one of those would have given them a first-round bye. So that's what their goals should be next year. But I don't know if Bill O'Brien will ever be able to get them beyond the first round. But I do know this. Deshaun Watson's a great young quarterback. And I think at some point, just like I do, Patrick Mahomes will help the Chiefs win another Super Bowl. And I think Watson, at some point, don't know who the coach will be, but Deshaun Watson will help Houston win its first Super Bowl.
Damn, Romeo Crennel, 73 years old, didn't realize that. John McClain of the Houston Chronicle joining us once again here on The Drive. So, John, you were saying you were sitting in the press box yesterday at Arrowhead, and when the Chiefs got up 24-0, you turned to your colleagues and said, it's fool's gold. So you clearly saw that comeback coming. At what point when the
Chiefs... No, I didn't see the comeback coming. I said it when they asked me what I thought about 24-0 lead. I was talking about the way the Chiefs have been awful. And it was fool's gold. It's not like they had just marched up and down the field on them, and you knew they weren't going to keep dropping third down passes, and they didn't. But, no, I thought they'd make a comeback, but I would never have predicted they'd come back to win after being down 24-0.
So at what point did it hit you, uh-oh, the Texans are going to lose this game?
Second touchdown. When O'Brien – blew the fake punt, and it was a great play. What they saw was what they practiced on, and the Chiefs were doing what they thought they'd do. But, man, Sorensen diagnosed it, got over there fast, made a great play. That's the guy that changed the complexion of this game. We're all talking about Mahomes, and we're talking about Kelce, and, yes, they were fabulous. But if he had not made that play, no telling how much they would have been up, and at some point it would have been insurmountable. But that, to me, was one of the biggest plays of the weekend.
And that is John McClain of the Houston Chronicle to give us the Texans' perspective on their collapse this weekend. John, always appreciate the time. Thanks a lot for coming on.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you very much, and good luck in the AFC Championship game.
We certainly appreciate it. That is John McClain for the Houston Chronicle. It is odd that someone who has covered the NFL in Houston for 44 years the way that John McClain has, to see something that you have never seen before.
Well, he's never seen it because it's never happened. There have been a lot of teams get off to a 24-0 lead and end up in a blowout. The team that had zeros never ended up the team blowing them out.
I mean, this is the first time in playoff history that a team won a game by more than 20 after trailing by more than 20 in the 100-year history of the league. It is also the first time since 1970 in which a team scored a touchdown on seven consecutive drives. So it was really one of those once in a lifetime, you had to be there kind of moments. I think what he said there at the end about Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, and Lamar Jackson is maybe the most interesting thing that he had to say, aside from how he felt about the fourth down and the fake punt. This season, I think just because of how Lamar played and the injury to Patrick Mahomes, there was a debate on who the best quarterback in the NFL was, at least nationally. I'm not saying there was ever a debate in Kansas City. You're always going to ride for your guy. But when one young quarterback wins NFL MVP, it's fair to ask the question nationally, who's the best young quarterback in the NFL? Is it Lamar Jackson? Is it Deshaun Watson, who seemingly has been an elite-level quarterback ever since we found out about him, since he was a freshman at Clemson? And Patrick Mahomes, who won MVP last year and certainly put up the gaudy numbers. I do think that this weekend we saw that Mahomes seemingly checks every single box that you can have, whether it's the physical traits, whether it's the athleticism, whether it's the coach, whether it's the situation. Watson and Lamar check a lot of boxes. I don't know if they check every single box the way that Patrick Mahomes is. I can't really give you a pretty strong answer. I can give you a pretty strong answer on Lamar Jackson. I think I can give you one about Deshaun Watson. I feel like he holds on to the ball a little bit too long. If we put on the text line right now, what would you say Patrick Mahomes' biggest weakness is? I think we get 19 different answers, and I bet the answers aren't that solid because I don't know if there is one. That I think whenever you have a franchise quarterback, you're trying to check so many boxes. And for most quarterbacks, checking 8 of those 10 boxes is a pretty good thing to do, or 9 of those 10 boxes. The Chiefs might have the one quarterback since Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady that you seemingly can check every single box.
Deshaun Watson yesterday at Arrowhead threw for 388 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no interceptions. And he was by far the second best quarterback on the field. Patrick Mahomes had 5 touchdowns, no interceptions, 321 yards, and essentially that came in really 2 quarters because he didn't do anything the first quarter. The Chiefs had the big lead going into the fourth quarter, so we're talking about the second and the third quarters when Patrick Mahomes did all of his work, and I actually think there's an argument to be made because of how big that game was, how big the team got down, the fact that he had the fiery speech on the sidelines, that was Patrick Mahomes' finest moment so far, and we expect to see a lot of those. It's one thing to win the MVP, to have the left-handed touchdown pass, to do what you did against the Ravens in the regular season last year, but legends in sports, especially in the NFL, are made in the postseason. And I think yesterday was the beginning of the legend of Patrick Mahomes when his team got down 24-0. And sure, you can point to Bill O'Brien going for a field goal, not a touchdown. You can point to special teams gaffes. There were a lot of reasons that allowed the Chiefs to get back into that football game. But it started when Patrick Mahomes not started throwing touchdown passes, but got vocal on the sidelines, let his team know with his body language that I think we're still going to win this game. And eventually that's what ended up happening.
John said something really interesting. I'm happy BK cut it. I want to play this for you really quickly. It kind of goes to the point I was just making about the boxes, where I think Watson checks a lot of boxes. That if you asked me, just very simple, true, false, Deshaun Watson will win a Super Bowl at some point in his career, I would say true. If you asked me that same question about Lamar Jackson, I would say true. I think both are going to evolve to the point where they win a Super Bowl, but there's some things that they need to clean up. Here's what John McClain said about Deshaun Watson.
But I don't know if Bill O'Brien will ever be able to get him beyond the first round. But I do know this. Deshaun Watson's a great young quarterback, and I think at some point, just like I do, Patrick Mahomes will help the Chiefs win another Super Bowl. And I think Watson at some point, don't know who the coach will be, but Deshaun Watson will help Houston win its first Super Bowl.
Do you know that saying they talk about raising kids where they say that it takes a village?
Mm-hmm.
It takes a village to raise a franchise quarterback, too. Like, let's take Baker Mayfield, for example. Just follow me on this analogy. I think Baker has a lot of franchise Super Bowl-winning quarterback characteristics. But I don't know if Baker has been placed in a situation, in a scenario, that will ever allow him to hit his full potential. If you think about it, young quarterbacks are like flowers. Your flower can grow to be a really strong tree, or you can just completely not water your flower, not take care of it, not give it the proper sunlight, not give it the right air, not give it the right exposure, and that flower can die. I think you're seeing that the Chiefs, and we've known this from the beginning since they drafted him, they have placed their quarterback in a perfect situation that allows him to be himself and allows him to, from a play standpoint, be himself, allow from a personality standpoint, be himself. And every single man in that locker room looks to him to be their leader. You heard guys like Frank Clark call him the leader. You heard guys like Tyrann Mathieu say that yesterday. So I'm a big believer that this team goes, like most teams, as their quarterback does and feeds off of his energies. You can see that Watson is not placed in a very similar environment. Like you saw it yesterday, whether it's offensive line, whether it's head coaching, whether it's having a coach that can put you in a situation that allows you to be your best. It really takes a village to have a franchise quarterback. And what should excite you as someone who has the Chiefs going to five Super Bowls with Patrick Mahomes as their quarterback is he's in an environment where that's a realistic thing. Not every coach has been in that environment. I would say Green Bay didn't put Aaron Rodgers in that environment. Like Patrick Mahomes at least appears to be in a situation that you can have this run go for another 10 years because everything seems to be in place. And if something goes wrong the way that you didn't have Juan Thornhill yesterday or you didn't have Chris Jones yesterday, like, you have a strong enough roster, and you're good enough that you can overcome those things.
Yeah, Pat's the flower that I'm picking for sure. He's got the water. He's got the sunlight. He's got the nutrients. He's got everything around him. And I think Dan Orlovsky said it best that Bill O'Brien, until he's gone, I don't know if anybody can unlock Deshaun Watson's greatness. Because we can talk about Patrick Mahomes and how great he is and the weapons that he has around him. To win in the NFL, you have to have a quarterback and a coach, right? Sometimes, very rarely, if you just have a great quarterback, you can win a championship. Sometimes, very rarely, without the quarterback, if you have a transcendently good coach. But the quickest way to do that is to have both. And the Chiefs clearly have that in place. And yesterday, I think Patrick Mahomes showed that not only physically is he the best quarterback in the NFL, mentally, that's the biggest change between this year and last season, that he's become the leader of the Chiefs as well.
I want to play this for you. This is from Dan Orlovsky. He was on the show earlier. He talked about being able to feel the momentum shift. I think the momentum shift changed by personalities and guys' energies. It obviously changed with plays. And Mahomes, the second quarter on, you can't really play the quarterback position much better than Mahomes did the second half of the game.
You just felt like the walls were going to begin to close in on Houston. And Bill O'Brien was the one who pressed the button to make it happen. And the reality was, once that team in Kansas City felt like they had breath, it was a wrap. Players feel that for sure, and that's a very, very real thing on both sides.
This is one thing that I'm not sure if a lot of people have talked about so far today. I would say one reason why the Royals didn't panic back in 2015 is because they had seen a very similar situation. So in the game against Houston, when they were down going into the eighth inning and they made the great comeback in the Carlos Correa's era, they had been in that same situation before in the wild card round. So it's kind of muscle memory and you don't overreact because you've been in that exact same situation before. I think part of what caused Kansas City not to really panic and not really to fret in that scenario is they dealt with that last year, whether it was the AFC Championship game where they didn't score in the first half, whether it was Sunday Night Football against the Patriots. Remember, they were down big at halftime, and then Kareem Hunt had that long touchdown to get them back into it. They had gone through certain scenarios with this same core intact where they were down and had to rally together to give themselves a chance, but I don't think they ever really got worried, and you bring up kind of the emotional leader. I think there were two guys that were the emotional leader. I would say Patrick Mahomes, who was as animated after that first touchdown play that I'd ever seen before, and Travis Kelce. If you remember, Travis Kelce got a big first down, signaled first down to the crowd. Crowd got really fired up. Travis Kelce then scored a touchdown to make it 24-7 and then spiked the football as hard as I've ever seen him spike the ball. That sometimes you need that rah, rah, rah to kind of get you going to kind of spark the comeback. The Royals needed that with Mike Moustakas, and that speech is now lore. I think the Chiefs kind of needed the exact same thing. I don't know if in that huddle, if on that sideline, that they ever lost faith. And I think they were just waiting for that one opening to get back in the game, and eventually that opening happened, and they certainly busted through the door.
But it wasn't just Kelce, and it wasn't just Pat, and it wasn't just Frank Clark and his three sacks. I'd say those are the main reasons why the Chiefs ended up winning that game going away. But Damian Williams now has 6 touchdowns in his last 2 playoff games. Hell, Sammy Watkins, see now, your guy, had 90 yards. He was really good. Tyrann Mathieu probably could have had 4 interceptions. Daniel Sorensen, I'm going to say it again, Daniel Sorensen, he definitely deserves a game ball. But be real with me, Chiefs fans. Hit me up on the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line at 69306. When did you think that game was lost? Because I know a lot of you listening think that at some point that game was lost. And then when did you think that game was won? For me, I'll admit, I thought the game was lost at that field goal you keep talking about. And yeah, they could have really buried him, put him down 28-0, and then it probably would have been over. But when the Chiefs were down 24-0, and we always hear about Andy Reid, he's so good with his 15 scripted plays before the game. Well, he had run 14 of those plays, and his team was already down 24-0. So that couldn't have backfired any worse. At that point, I genuinely believe that everything we've been talking about all year had gone out the window 5 minutes into that game. And then it didn't take me long to recognize, one, hold on, you've got Superman, you've got Patrick Mahomes, so cool off. And two, it was my dude, Mecole Hardman, with the kickoff return. He didn't get in the end zone, but he was the spark that started the fire, where I think all of Arrowhead went at that point, okay, you're saying there's a chance.
I actually feel good saying this because I actually have a witness, because BK was there. Have you seen the movie Zombieland before?
No.
Well, they have this rule in Zombieland where you have to double tap the zombies, that you have to shoot the zombie twice to make sure that the zombie's dead.
Sounds ridiculous.
I looked at that point right there that they didn't double tap. Like last week, one of your big things was the Chiefs need to keep Houston down, and they got to continue to apply pressure, and they can't allow Deshaun Watson anything.
Step on their neck.
I looked at it like Houston had an opportunity to do that. You don't watch Game of Thrones. I thought at that moment Houston had a chance to Arya Stark the Kansas City Chiefs. I think the game would have been over. They were up 21-0. You go for it on fourth down. You convert that fourth down. You score a touchdown to go up 28-0 and take all the momentum. I think that Arrowhead, I think a lot of people would have started to exit the stadium. That I kind of looked at that moment. I looked at BK. I'm like, all right, you're still in this. Like, the fact that Houston didn't try to end the Chiefs when they had the opportunity to, whenever Kansas City was kind of wobbly and it says finished him, and then they didn't go for the uppercut and they went for that little weak leg.
Finish speed. Him.
Like, I was kind of looking at that scenario. Like, I can't believe that you had a chance to end the Chiefs there, and you went from kicking a field goal to go up, from being up 3 possessions to then kick a field goal to go up 3 possessions. It just didn't make a lot of sense why in that scenario you didn't end the Chiefs. That I don't know if a lot of coaches in that scenario do that in that scenario. Like, I kind of thought Andy Reid was taking a lot of unfair criticism in the first quarter of the game. I know the Chiefs came out to a very slow start. I don't think a lot of that was actually on Andy Reid.
Big, like, Red looked a little shell-shocked. But how could you not be?
But you say that, though. Think about it. You had a blown coverage. We've been giving Spags all the credit in the world. I don't think Andy's calling the plays on defense. Kenny Stills' touchdown, I think, has absolutely nothing to do with Andy Reid. I don't think that's his forte. I think that's on the defense and miscommunication and not having Juan Thornhill. The block punt. Is that not on Dave Tobe, special teams guru? That's on Dave Tobe. You draw up a play to get your number one offensive weapon in Travis Kelce the ball. He then had a drop. He then called another play on 3rd and 4 to DeMarcus Robinson. I know it's DeMarcus Robinson, but we can't deny the play call to get DeMarcus Robinson the football was perfect. If he catches the football, DeMarcus Robinson gets 50 yards on that play because nobody was there. I actually think that Andy actually had a pretty good game plan for the first 15 minutes of the game. The team didn't really execute, but once the team kind of settled in, and then a couple of things happened that Houston didn't do, and it allowed you time to kind of get back in it, I think Andy called a beautiful game. That game that we just saw was like watching the 2018-2019 Chiefs with the defense. Offensively, how dynamic they were, getting different guys involved. Blake Bell had 0 career touchdowns and caught a touchdown play yesterday. You want to talk about everybody being a weapon, everybody being available? I think that's what happened yesterday. I don't really fault Andy a lot for what happened in the first quarter, but I do fault Bill O'Brien, because I think 2 of his decisions had a significant outcome and then ultimately changed the course of momentum in the game.
I think Andy was a big reason why the Chiefs were allowed to come back. I think that Bill O'Brien is the sole reason why the Texans eventually ended up losing that football game. Like, he did absolutely nothing once his team got off to a 24-0 lead. And I don't care how they scored. Defense, offense, special teams, free points, whatever. The score said 24-0, essentially 6 minutes into that game. There's no reason, Carrington. No reason. I don't care if the other team has Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and home field advantage and Travis Kelce playing a career game, that by the time halftime rolled around, so 15 minutes, clock time after you build a 24-0 lead, the other team has the lead. As a Chiefs fan, and I think I speak for a lot of people driving around right now, when they got down early, I was just hoping, crap, by the end of this game, I hope there's a chance. I hope this team is driving with 1 minute left, down by seven, with a chance for Patrick Mahomes to tie it up. And I don't care if they're out there 1 yard line with no timeouts. I just want a chance. I didn't think in my wildest dreams that by the time the halftime show came on, the Chiefs would have the lead.
I was kind of like BK, that I was kind of thinking about it in the concept of a basketball game. You know how in college you've seen this at KU because they've been down before, that you're kind of looking at certain media timeouts. You're looking at, all right, we got a big deficit here, but we need to be down by X at this media timeout to have a chance.
Yeah.
I was thinking that if they were down 24-14, getting the ball back at halftime at home, all right, you got a chance to win that game. Never in my wildest dreams in the first half did I think that they would be ahead going into halftime after being down 24-0. I maybe saw the comeback a little bit earlier than most people and thought they were going to win the game, but I never saw that they were going to be down 24-0 and then up 28-4 at halftime and then win the game by 20 and score 50 points. I don't know how anyone could have saw that coming.
That's the part that's not getting enough love, is that they didn't just make the comeback and win the game. They ended up winning the game by 20 points, where I've seen some comparisons back in 2008 when my Jayhawks came back the last 2-12 and beat Memphis in the national championship game. From the Memphis perspective, it was that they choked. From the KU perspective, it was that they came back. Well, it took overtime, right? And they won the game by, I think, seven points. 75-68, I believe, was the final score. It was close. When the Chiefs caught them, they lapped them. And by halftime, I think everybody, including the Texans, knew they had no chance to win that game.
Coming up on the other side, I called in a favor to our guy, Benny Heiss, to give us one of his classic drive opens. You will hear that coming up on the other side. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.